Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Monday, February 22nd, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great. Thank you very much.
Me too. The snow is melting. It's supposed to get up near 60 Wednesday. I'm happy.
Yeah, me too. We have rain today, though.
Oh, do you? We had sprinkles a little bit, but it's kind of clearing up now.
Yeah,
so.
We've had some significant rain and some wind, some strong winds today, but no snow. And we're also in the mid-50s this week, so I'll
great,
take
huh?
it.
I like it. I like it.
Spring has sprung, maybe.
Well, it's on the way. It's on the way.
Okay, it's on the way. Well, also what's on the way is perhaps this is gold's recovery, rebound. Gold's up 2450 today at 1810. Silver was up 96 cents, almost 3.5%, $28.33. Platinum was down 2 at 1274. Palladium was up 12 at 2424. The USDX down 0.24 at 90.09. Crude oil was up 2.45 at 61.69. And let's go ahead and see what the paper markets to do. It looks more like the NASDAQ is the one that got hammered today, but less than 2%. And in today's world of trading, it really isn't any big deal anymore. So we've got the Dow was up 27 points, 31,521. NASDAQ down 341 points at 13,533. The S&P was down 30 at 3,876. And 10-year yield, 1.37. That continues to climb. Butch, you said to me that you couldn't find any news. There wasn't a lot of news out there. And, there's a lot of news out there. And they just keep giving mixed signals.
They do.
Like, I think you have something there about Janet Yellen. The Treasury Secretary is signaling that the Biden administration supports research in the viability of a digital dollar. But this was, 3 weeks ago, she came out and said, oh, absolutely not. So, I mean, it's like, you know what? They just goes to show that they say whatever they're told to say. So they can't give their own opinions. They have to give the thought process of those who control them. And supposedly a number of central banks, including the U.S. Federal Reserve, and they've been conducting research into how digital versions of their own currency would work. And there was a Bloomberg article today, and it was about the money boom, that the money boom is already here. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on, but just the first paragraph or the first sentence, which is the whole paragraph. So speculative mania are in the air, as evidenced by the recent price surge for Bitcoin, a digital asset with a fundamental value of zero, and GameStop, a declining retailer, along with the other economic trends, a strong recovery, surging commodity prices, and an uptick in inflation, those asset bubbles have a clear cause, the massive expansion of money and credit. But yeah, the first sentence, Bitcoin, a fundamental value of zero. But yet its price of $54,000. Go figure. It's just a complete insanity. And the big GameStop thing is right. They were a declining retailer. Like, it's what's up is down and what down is up. It's a crazy, crazy world. But that was an interesting Wall Street Report, and they're talking about the M2 money and all the money that is being printed and their discussion of inflation. And it's only beginning.
Oh, it is only beginning. It is.
So
we have a warning on hyperinflation here just in a few minutes from a guy that I never heard of before, but his article made good sense. Oh, we're heading for a bad time, LD. But you know, we're talking about metals. And metals, precious metals, are something that's tangible. We've said this 100 times at least. There's something that you can hold in your hand that is of value because it took labor and investment to produce that coin in your hand. That's why it's worth something. It's not digital or printed out on a computer. It's not a piece of paper stamped out in a printing press. This took labor and effort and investment to make it. So it's worth something. But copper even, surges above $9,000 a ton. And people are now investing in copper because the demand is going to surge, say, over the next few years because of the rapidly growing energy markets. Now it's going to take hold. But copper went up to over $9,000 a ton, first time in 9 years. So copper itself is a metal, is it not? And it's something that's got to be mined and produced, and it's going up in value. People think about this. Copper is going up in value. Gold and silver is going up in value, obviously. But metals are going up in value because they have to be mined and milled and made in a commodity that you can use. That's why they're worth something. You just can't make something of value out of thin air. It's like a magician's trick. They think, oh, look at this coin, this digital coin. It's worth $54,000, but there's nothing to back it. Oh. Anyway, Mel, I don't get started on that, but it's so insane. But even copper is making a huge gain. Shouldn't that tell us something, that there's something we're missing maybe when it comes to real money and value?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, they used to make pennies out of copper.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. The copper, the penny's worth more than a penny. But they can't make it any other way anymore. Anyway, I just had to get into that and share that, because I mean, I want people to see that this all metals that are used for something are going up in value. Gold and silver leading the way as far as common knowledge of what they be worth. Now, I'll be quiet and let you go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt what you're saying, but I thought that's important.
No, I mean, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, it is kind of a slow, there's so much. It really isn't a slow news day. It just seems like it's all the same.
Yeah.
It's like it's all the same news over and over and over again. And it's, it's just, here's the top 10 hedge fund managers. Hey, they did well last year. They earned billions and billions of dollars. The top 10 hedge fund managers globally earned $20 billion in 2020. And that's a 50% rise from the $13 billion in 2019. So, and that's against the backdrop of these volatile markets that we had last year. That's amazing that you can have such a big increase. And hedge funds made gains of 11% on average in 2020 amid the huge sell-off in March of last year. You know, you had the large economic shutdowns following the coronavirus. So the top 10 average returns of 43% in 2020. And Coate, C-O-A-T-U-E, management, making 65%. Really is amazing. So if they're making that many billions of dollars, look how much they actually processed. Just trillions, but anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, talk about the scale being unbalanced in a little bit of that direction. Unbelievable.
And that's exactly why they will do everything and anything to keep these markets functioning. So.
And running on air, so to speak. Just running on nothing, but people believe there was something, and they continue to look at it and invest in it. And they're investing into something that has to collapse, You know, I don't know how else to put this, but how many times have you and I watched people lose? I know people personally who had retirements put in some investments in the market, and their investments went down. Now, I know the market's still growing, but some investments have went down to nothing, and the people I knew lost part of their retirement because they had it in a certain fund that somebody said invested in, a certain business. All businesses are not making it equally, are they?
No.
So, folks, be careful. Be careful. It's worth calling Melody up just to talk to him. Before getting anything else, Melody, what are Silver Eagles going for now? Now the silver's over $28.
Hey, I went online and I looked up Atmex, and there isn't one item of Silver Eagles that's selling below 40.
Wow.
They're all 41, 42, 43.
Wow.
However, at Discount Gold and Silver, we're lower. We're lower than 40. And I might have to raise my price because I'm really low. But, we're under 40. We're between 30, about 38, 50, 39. So
silver has taken a huge gain over the last couple months.
Huge. Well, it's the premiums. I mean, spot's only 28, which is great.
I'm talking about the spot, yeah. That's phenomenal. It was what, last year it was 14 and 15?
Uh-huh.
In that area? It's almost doubled.
You know, someone asked me today, they says, well, are the premiums going to get lower later on in the year? And this is the first time that I had to say no. Because usually I will wait and say, yeah, they're going to come down. I don't think so this year. Not with the mint coming out with a new design on the backside of the coins. And I think there'll be energy people waiting to buy the new design in June after it's released. So that's going to be a premium. So no, I don't see premiums. If silver dropped to 15, then maybe, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening this year. And that's the first time because people are paying. People are paying the $41, $42, $43. These sellers online will continue to sell it as long as people buy it. So it's just truly amazing. I mean, I'm happy. Trust me, I'm in the business to make money. I have to feed Ruby, you know, so I need I need an income, you know, and I'm here to supply it and so forth. But it just really is just fascinating.
It is fascinating. It really is. I may have said this before. If I did, stop me. But I don't repeat it. But I do a demonstration. I've done it at Bible study more than once. And other places when people ask me. And sometimes when people come to visit, they want to know more about silver and the dollar. So I'll take time to show them this. I have in a big plastic bag, like a sandwich bag, a clear bag, 100 eagles, silver eagles. And I also have a $100 bill that was minted in 1954. I have it laminated so it won't ruin. And it says on the bottom of that bill, this is redeemable and lawful money. And it's silver. Back to my silver in 1954. And it says, right on, this is redeemable and lawful money. I ask people to read this. Now, what does that mean? I'm holding my hand a $100 bill. You call that money. But back then it was not recognized as lawful money. The lawful money was in the bank. This was a coupon that you had in your hand to redeem lawful money out of the bank. Isn't that what it said, Melody?
Yes, it did.
It is. And when I first got this, I had 100 silver eagles. They were worth about $20 a piece. So I said, here's a $100 bill. In 1954, that's worth $1,000 in today's money. And now it's $4,000 in today's money. Tell me that that isn't a huge difference. The silver went from $20, we'll say, to $40 a piece per eagle. That's $4,000, and it was $2,000 just a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago. So tell me the hundred silver eagles were not a good investment for me when I bought them. So to me, it's a good demonstration to show people what paper is and what real money is. You agree?
I agree.
And it works very well. People say, I get it. Well, good. But anyway.
Job well done.
Thank you. But yeah, right on the $100 bill it says this is redeemable and lawful money. Well, if this isn't lawful money, what is? You're looking at it. It's silver. silver dollars. It's real money. This was not real money. They didn't recognize real money. It was a coupon that the bearer could get on demand at the bank. Real money. In 1964, that went away. The last semblance of real money in America, 1964, kind of slid down the drain. Folks, this is all happening. It happened in my lifetime. So I know what I'm talking about. But I would like to share, I think, some good news from West Virginia. Right here in the little state where I live, we own about having about 1.5 million people in the whole state. And if we were flat, we'd be the biggest Texas. But anyway, we're not a very big state population-wise. A lot of ways people say we're a backward state. Well, that's fine with me. I'm content where I am. We now have proposed in our legislature, House Bill 2159, sponsored by Delegate Joe Jeffries and 10 other state delegates. And in this bill, they would nullify any federal gun laws, future and past. When it passes, and I'm sure it's going to pass. I talked to one of the delegates today. He said, if it has to do with keeping our rights bare arms, I'm all for it. I've got to call out to the other one to see what she decides to do. But this would repeal the 1934 National Firearms Act and the 1968 Gun Control Act in West Virginia. I don't know of any other state that's done that. And I'm tickled that we're in the forefront of this as a state. So I wanted to share that. I thought that was very good news. I was excited to share that.
Good.
So I'll be quiet now. Let you say something. I thought it was something exciting.
Yeah, very good.
So we'll move on whenever you're ready.
Okay. Well, we'll be heading into a break here soon. So, no, that is good news. And you don't hear much more about the red flag states anymore. And I think what disturbs me more than, at least I know a lot of the scuttlebutt and so forth, what this administration is doing, you know, with gun safety, as they call it. But they're awfully quiet about something that they've deemed as their number one agenda item to be taken care of. Don't you think they've been quiet?
Well, I think they realize they've already stirred up a hornet's nest on that issue alone. Obviously, other states have already passed similar bills to this. They're not going to obey any federal laws. So I think that they may thought that we better back off a little bit, let things calm down. So
this is a hot topic
in most places.
Well, it is, but don't you believe that they've been a little quiet?
You talking about the Biden administration?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been.
And that's what concerns me. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, well, I guess the Supreme Court today gave the Manhattan DA access to President Trump's tax returns. You know, I think this was the second time they said do it, but I guess President Trump kept fighting, so. And, you know, it really is amazing. These people are just, I can't say what they are on the radio, but they just don't stop, you know. Listening to some of these programs now that President Trump is gone, I just, Butch, who are these people?
I don't know. You know, I wonder from time to time, did Trump actually do more to drain the swamp than we thought he did, because they're not turning him loose. They're doing their best to hang on to him and do what they can to hurt him. So I don't know. They're vengeful, spiteful people. We can tell that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's just amazing to see their transformation.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
from prior to the election to after the election. It's truly amazing. But anyway, what do you have for us today?
I got something here. This is unusual, especially in a northeast state like Connecticut. Connecticut governor defends refusal to increase taxes on wealthy. That's what the headline says. Planned investment in education in cities is criticized by a progressive coalition as not bold enough for COVID-19 economy. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont's centrist budget plan has put him at odds with the coalition of progressive lawmakers, activists, and labor unions calling for tax increases to fund a more robust response to the economic crisis. Mr. Lamont, a Democrat, proposed a two-year spending plan of $41.6 billion that included Democratic priorities such as legalizing recreational cannabis and new programs designed to address climate change. Still, Mr. Lamont's budget left the progressive wing of the Democratic Party unimpressed, in part because it includes no new major tax increases. Imagine that. Many said the governor's spending plan failed to meet the urgency of the moment when many residents remain out of work because of the pandemic-fueled economic crisis. The state unemployment rate for December is 8%, while January 9th job losses a rate of 6.3%, according to the reports. So I don't believe that for a second. But nonetheless, the governor is for legalizing some cannabis. He's all about climate change. But he wouldn't raise taxes on the wealthy, so he's under fire from some Democratic Party. And, I mean, to not raise taxes by any governor is almost unheard of now if they get a chance to do it. If the House will back him, most of them, I think, would like to raise him. But Lamont said
well,
no. Isn't that something?
Butch, the key word there is he refused to increase taxes on the wealthy.
The wealthy, yes.
Yes. Can't say anything about us or the lower people of Connecticut.
Well, I'm amazed he even said that. I don't know what to say. I'm stunned. I mean, that's what they're being hit in the wealth in New York, and they're packing up and leaving. You know that'd be true already. You
right.
know, I mean.
Well, yes, true. But just as many, I don't know, it's not the same ratio, but you got to forget there's a lot of people moving in New York, too. So, you know.
But I wonder if they're the money people.
I don't know.
See, that's what makes the difference, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's not going to, you know, in those rich states, they're not going to raise taxes on the wealthy. They'll do it for everybody else, but not the wealthy.
Well, that could be part of it. I didn't really hit it that direction. I just kind of amazed he didn't raise taxes, period. I was amazed. And, you know, Biden...
They'll get it one way or another. They have to.
They always do.
They always do, so...
You know, West Virginia has a very low property rate, tax rate, compared to most states. But they make it up in gasoline tax, tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a way. They took food tax off, so they increased, you know, they increased the sales tax, I think a penny when that happened. It's been several years ago. But they get their money, Melody. That's how they exist.
Sure.
They just got to find out that, we'll take tax off food. Everybody shares. That's wonderful. And it is wonderful. But they didn't raise sales tax on that other items.
Absolutely.
So they get you one way or the other. They always have, always will.
Yep.
This next article says why Biden and Krugman are wrong about $15 minimum wage. And I don't know why people can sit back and look at this and think $15 minimum wage is more than double what it is now. Businesses are struggling already, but nonetheless. President Biden claimed during his Super Bowl interview that all the economics show that if the government imposes a $15 minimum wage, then the whole economy rises. Comment here on this, too. Government has no authority to impose on businesses what they must pay their employees. That is absolutely unconstitutional and immoral. But anyway, let's move on. He said, for his part, Nobel laureate Paul Krugman has claimed for years that there is just no evidence that raising the minimum wage costs jobs, at least when the starting point is as low as it is in modern America. Is this really possible? Are all the free market fans on the internet just spouting unscientific nonsense when they argue that minimum wage hike will hurt unskilled workers? The quick answer is no. Biden and Krugman are wrong. Although the empirical evidence regarding minimum wage is not the slam dunk it once was, the studies have found a modest impact on employment couch the results in terms of a modest hike in minimum wage. The proposed raise from $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour involves more than a doubling. To my knowledge, not a single peer-reviewed economic study has looked at the historical evidence and concluded that such a massive increase will not have a negligible impact on employment. Many businesses are having a hard time paying $8 an hour. How are they going to double that? I mean, small businesses, most of them are not rolling in dough, are they?
No, they're not, and I get the idea. Unfortunately, they always use this as a political ploy. But, Butch, I mean, let's face it. You can't live on $7 an hour.
You can't live on
$15 an hour.
No.
And the thing of it is, a lot of those wages, though, the problem is that it's the sector. You have restaurants. You have waitresses. I mean, yeah, they get the minimum wage, but they probably make $30, $40 an hour with their tips and everything. So, you know, it will have an impact. And it's just, and these businesses, they can afford it, but they're going to change their way on how they pay the employees. So it will come down, hurt the employees.
Yes,
because the businesses will adjust one way or another. They will adjust. So who's it going to hurt? It's going to hurt the customers and it's going to hurt the employees. So now they're only going to get $15 an hour.
Yep.
And they'll probably get fewer, less tips.
And less hours, too, a lot of them.
They'll get less hours, and then, not only that, does it push them into a different tax bracket? I don't know. Will they be paying more taxes? I would think that if your wages go from 7 to 15, and your tips, I don't know how much they get charged or how their tips fit in there for being taxed, but... Yeah, I mean, it's just, so it does hurt. And then you do have these restaurants, the ones that, you know, your mom and pops who the family works in there. Yeah, it does hurt them. They're just coming off a year of no business. The timing stinks.
Yes, it does.
But then what do you do? And no one addresses the problem. We talk about this, we complain about this, we talk about how negative having the $15, and again, hey, people deserve to have more. But what's the real problem behind it, Butch? The real problem is their money doesn't buy as much as it used to.
Well, that's very true. That's very true.
So that's, does anybody ask why they can't live on $15 an hour? Does anybody ask why the money isn't trickling down? You can't force you can't force corporations to trickle it down. But that's what the Democrats do. Well, the wealthy should pay for it. The wealthy should pay for it. Well, you know what? Maybe they should, but they don't. So what are you going to do about it? You shouldn't do anything about it. So how do you fix the problem, Butch?
Well, what happened to free enterprise?
Government got involved.
That's exactly right. Free enterprise wasn't a perfect system. There are no perfect systems on this earth.
No.
But it was a system based on supply and demand and work. And I'm not saying all businesses are ever fair. And corporations are hardly ever fair to employees. But most businesses, I think, run an honest business and pay the honest wage. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I just don't know what to say. I mean, free enterprise has been dead in this country longer than I've been alive. I mean, socialism's in this country long before I was born. I was born in 48. It started long before that. It just increased in mass since then. Hugely increased. I mean, the programs that I've seen come about my lifetime. I remember when you used to give out commodities when I was a little boy. That wasn't food stamps. That was just food given to you if you needed it. They went to food stamps, Medicaid, Medicare, HUD. I mean, all the other things come about in my lifetime that just drug us further into communism, socialism, and took away the value of the dollar. And actually decreased the working opportunities for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it started cutting back on people, businesses that could no longer produce like they did before. Restrictions by government to, you know, certain things. So this is, when government gets involved, people, you've already killed it.
And then the employee has to compete with people from China, with people from Asia, Vietnam. Vietnam. It always baffled me. And now it's just these politicians have absolutely no shame. And it's all controlled. And you have all these large multinational corporations in bed with the government. So who really runs this country anymore?
Who controls the legislators?
Multinational corporations.
There you go.
Yep, absolutely.
And who pays Congress? Not us, IMF. That'll tell you something.
So, you
Think
know,
about it, folks.
So how do we bring jobs back to this country? What has to happen? Because all this administration's going to do is create stimulus, pay for infrastructure spending that will create maybe temporary jobs for a select few, for companies and these corporations who get the government jobs. But for the most part, ain't going to help people. So yeah. It's not jobs. It's not real jobs. Not too many people can go work on a road and build a bridge. Although they did. They built Boulder Dam during the Depression. So.
But that didn't feed. That wasn't jobs for everybody in the country, obviously.
No. No.
That wasn't. Can't be.
And those conditions at that time, building that dam, were horrendous. Many people lost their lives.
Yes, they did.
And the way they had to live, it's watching that story is amazing. So, but anyway, so we need to have our money. That's what we need. We need real money. That's what makes it work.
Businesses are allowed to grow and prosper without being taxed in oblivion by big corporations.
Hey,
you know, talking about stimulus. Talking about stimulus, and we're all going to get a check yet sometime in the near future. $1,500 they're going to give this time, I think they mentioned, and I won't get into that. But what stimulus does is a temporary influx of paper money that makes the economy look like it's booming for about a month, maybe 2 months. Then inflation sets in. And Michael Burry, I never heard of him before, but warns Weimar hyperinflation is coming. People say I didn't warn last time. I did, but no one listened. So I warned this time, and still no one listens. But I will have proof. I warned. 1 week ago, Bank of America hinted at the unthinkable. The tsunami of monetary and fiscal stimulus coupled with the upcoming surge in monetary velocity as the world's economy emerges from lockdowns would lead to an unprecedented economic overheating, or rather, precedented, as BOFA's CIO Michael Harnett reflected back on the post in World War I Germany, which he said was the most epic, extreme analog of surging velocity and inflation following the end of the war. Psychologically, pent-up savings, lost confidence in currency and authorities, and specifically the Reichsbank's monetization of debt, and extrapolated that is similar to what is going on now. What he said, what we've seen happen in post-World War I Germany, it's the same thing we're seeing happening now. Banks buying debt, people, you know, are losing confidence in the money, and obviously they are, a lot of them are, and confidence in authorities. Said we're in line for a Weimar hyperinflation, and that is absolutely coming, Melody, because every time they print another piece of paper, that piece of paper becomes worth less, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
When people think we're getting those checks, boy, we're going to boom. We're going to get another $1,500. My gosh, we can buy a used car. And that's, all that's wonderful. I understand where they're coming from. But you're going to pay for it in inflation. And your children are going to pay for it more than you did. That's what's
absolutely
not fair.
Yeah, but we all know this. This is what's going to happen. Everybody admits to it. And yet nobody does anything about it. Even your politicians will admit to it.
No,
nobody
yeah,
does anything
admit,
about
yeah.
it. And the only thing they had to do is cure all our problems. That's all they have to do is give us real money. Yeah, there'd be tough times, but it would cure the problems. So it isn't simple. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how you would begin to go back to real money. The system is all based, so, I mean, you have to collapse one system before you can bring in the other. But they make too much money on the fiat system.
And they get votes.
And they get votes. They can buy and buy and buy. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. I'm Melody Cederstrom. You know, Butch, we're talking about inflation and everything like that. You know, and I think we've talked about it last week too. Some of these power bills that people are seeing.
Yes.
In Texas. It's like, how can they do that? I mean, how can they do that? $3,000.
One guy went for almost $16,000.
I mean, it's just like, I can remember when I was living in Missouri, I can't remember if we had a tornado go through the area or something like that, and the gasoline prices started to rise. And gas stations who overcharged got fined by the state.
Yep.
If, because they gouged people. So how can they, you'd think that these power utility companies would have to face the same sort of thing. And they're not doing that. The city-owned gas and power provider in San Antonio said on Twitter that it was looking at allowing customers to spread their payments over 10 years or longer. Well, that's mighty nice of you.
Oh, my.
Well, you know, what's a person to do? Unless the state gets involved, they have to pay it.
I understand that the cost of the producing went up tremendously, you know, from a couple hundred bucks to $9,000 per kilowatt hour. So the cost produced went up, I guess, that much too. But they should know that the people can't afford to pay $5,000, $6,000 for a power bill. They have to recognize that fact. I appreciate that they can lose money. But, and we'll discuss maybe that one power business in Texas may be going bankrupt because of all this. But before this all happened, before the power outage, Vistra Corporation, one of the largest power generators in Texas, said it warned the state agencies days before the cascading blackouts plunged millions in darkness that internal forecasts show electricity demand was expected to exceed supply. So it's not like the power company was not warned.
Yeah.
So why is it the people's fault?
It isn't. It's kind of like bad business. You kind of have to eat your loss.
But when you have a kind of monopoly, what do?
Well, that's where the state should set in. I know in Pennsylvania, I remember one time I got a telephone bill. I mean, it was like $20,000. And it's like, say, what? But they haven't. I can't remember. It's a utility place where you can actually go and tell them that you don't owe this. And it was a typo. But, you know, they were coming after me as though it was real. And it's like, no. And they actually took, you know, my side and made the company look at this and so forth. And, you know, it got changed and whatnot. So I don't know if they have someplace like that in Texas. But you need to have these groups and so forth to help the consumer. Why would anybody pay $8,000
or more? That's true. That's true. And Just Energy is a company in Texas crashed more than 21% in the pre-market after the company released a statement about steep losses incurred during the winter storms that swept across Texas last week, warning of doubts about remaining a going concern. In other words, it probably won't survive. Financial impact could change and additional information becomes available, it said in a statement. According to the financial impact, the weather event on company, once known as NOAM, could be materially adverse to the company's liquidity, its ability to continue as a going concern. Their share, Just Energy, hit a record low, $4.05 in pre-market trading, since it went public in 2002 and peaked above $600 in 2007. So that's a huge drop. They may be going out of business. So it is what it is. And power companies in Texas, I understand this, independent, as you said, independent grid, and I suppose they're not regulated as far as how much they can charge people. And I can see that non-regulation does sometimes deter a company from doing infrastructure. But Melody, I got to think about a little bit on this. Our nation's infrastructure is crumbling. Either the companies are not willing to spend the money, or this was planned beforehand, maybe to subdue the people. I don't know. I don't know this. But it's not because the money hasn't been there over the years to keep it upgraded. And when they're warned it's going to fall by another company in the same state, that there's going to be a demand, it's going to overpower the supply, why didn't he do something when he heard that? Instead of just letting it all happen. These are questions I don't have the answers to. But companies, power companies, telephone companies, the job is to maintain the service and build infrastructure, the bridges, roads, all that. You and I both know that that's fallen way to the wayside, and it's not government's place to pay for it.
No.
It isn't. But that's just what's happened.
It isn't government's place, but I'll tell you what, there should be some sort of something that they can, somewhere there has to be some sort of a consumer advocate that can come in there and fight for these consumers so they don't have
to
pay these high.
That part I agree with. That's,
you know, and I'd rather see a state take care of its citizens during some sort of what they've experienced than have the federal government come in and hand out $600, $1,200, and $1,400 stimulus checks. But that's just me. The states need to take care of the people.
I agree. The state is to be sovereign in itself. That's a fact. You know, Brazil is hitting another hard place. Brazil, Marcus crashed after Bolsonaro appoints retired army general to lead state oil giant. He fired the man that was ahead of it for whatever reason. And they increased the diesel prices 15%. Truckers are threatening to go on strike in Brazil. He put a retired army general to lead the oil giant. And the markets didn't react too well to that. So it looks like Brazil's markets are actually starting to pay the price for all this philandering been going on behind the scenes for a long time. So if the truckers go on strike, that's going to pretty much seal the deal on the markets in Brazil. But he said that he wanted to change what was happening with the ex-head of the state oil company. But apparently it didn't work out too well. But the key word is here, it's a state-run company. So he's a boss of it.
Yeah.
It is what it is, but it's hurting the markets. Any comments on that one?
No, not at all. Brazil is
next,
Brazil.
But Brazil was pretty much been a pretty steady economy for a lot of years. I mean, it's like Venezuela was a wealthy nation. All of a sudden, it's no longer that way. But here in America, it can't happen here. We know that, so we're safe. Right?
Correct.
We're safe here. And you heard about the little boy in Texas who froze to death, right?
Yeah, I heard there was a lawsuit.
There is. I got it right here.
But how did he freeze to death?
Well, I'll just read what says here. Family of Conroe boy who died during winter storm suing ERCOT Energy for 100 million. A Conroe family whose young son died during the winter storm has enlisted the help of a high-profile attorney, Tony Busby, in their lawsuit against ERCOT and Energy. The lawsuit alleges gross negligence by the power grid operator and electricity provider, saying it led to the death of 11-year-old Christian Pavan. The boy died Tuesday after spending the night in a frigid mobile home that lost power. The lawsuit says Christian died of hypothermia. The family is asking for more than $100 million in damages. And that is sad. That really is sad. That is so sad. But their parents were there.
Yep. They didn't freeze to death, did they?
No. Why are they blaming it? I mean, the power's off, and I'm not saying the power company wasn't some of the fault of that. But why didn't the parents check on the boy and make sure he was okay? I don't understand this.
How old was the boy?
11 years old.
11.
I mean, if the parents are there in the mobile home with him, wouldn't you think that'd be their job? That nothing else, that let him sleep between them and keep him warm?
You'd think they would all sleep together, yeah.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But everybody wants to pass the blame to somebody else. I'm not saying they weren't partly involved. But you have to take responsibility sometime for your own well-being. Now the Texas the people of Texas are mad at the governor because this happened. I don't know if he could help prevent it or not. I mean, the record low temperatures and water mains still freezing and busting in the state, or they're all leaking everywhere. They're mad at the governor. I mean, Greg Abbott is being attacked now. And again, I'm not saying maybe they weren't partially to blame. But Melody, we got to learn to be self independent. When the power goes off, we should have means to take care of ourselves for a little while, without having to blame somebody that the power's off. Maybe we can after the power's repaired. But should we be able to take care of ourselves for a week or two or three if necessary? Isn't that our job as adults to have backup? Hey, the power's off. I have a generator. I have something here I can stay warm with. I have food put up so we can survive for a couple, 2 or 3 weeks at least. How come we got off on this? We want to blame everybody but ourselves.
Well, I mean, we became a nation where we pass the buck. Everybody,
that's true.
It's just what we do. We do it very well. You know, I don't know all the circumstances to that 11-year-old boy. I don't know if his family, if his parents, maybe they had issues that we don't know about and so forth. But everybody's on a different level, and some people can't. They just don't have the funds or the ability to do what we've been, so many of us listening to this program and so forth, have been blessed to do, and that's prepare. And they don't have anybody telling them that they needed to prepare. And you're in Texas, where you don't get those types, so you don't think about it as far as the cold. So, but again, yes, I wouldn't sue. It's very a sad situation with a lot of circumstances, but I don't know, Butch. That's
well,
a toughie.
Again, I saw a picture of his mother with him standing beside her, and the woman looked perfectly healthy to me in the picture. But again, if he had parents or just a mom there, I would have thought she'd be paying closer attention to her son. That's just my opinion.
I can't
see it happening. It took hours for it to happen. It didn't happen in 5 minutes.
That's true.
It's something had to be done there, and now they're blaming the governor. Again, I'm not saying they're not at fault to a point, but when do we take responsibility for ourselves?
Yeah.
Even when I grew up in a, my family was not wealthy by any means, and we canned things and buried apples in the ground for the wintertime. We did. We even had an outhouse for. I didn't have a bathroom until I was almost 14 years old in the house. But we got by. The power off is inconvenient, but we survived without it. As long as I went without power since I've been married, it was 11 days. But we survived. We just made it through it. We put the stuff outside on the front porch in the wintertime to keep it cold. We knew the refrigerator wasn't going to work all the time. And then we had one time in the summertime the power went off with that derecho we had some years ago. But we survived. And it's just because we worked together. We didn't blame the weatherman or the power company necessarily. Things happen, and with the storm that tears down the power lines and the weather, the trees fall like it has here in West Virginia and Kentucky and other places, thousands of people without power. But they're getting kind of frustrated. It's not back on yet. But you can't blame the power company because trees fall on the power line. And ice breaks them. Now they say that the ice is melting. It's going to make the power lines start jumping up and down. They can break loose again. Mm-hmm. So It is what it is, folks. I'm not saying that it's all our fault, but be prepared no matter whose fault it is. When you're hungry, you're hungry. When you're cold, you're cold. You need to take care of yourself as best you can and prepare yourself this way and also financially. And if I don't understand why you haven't called Melody already, at least ask some questions about gold and silver. You don't have to buy a fortune's worth. Most of you are not wealthy, just like I'm not. But prepare yourself for what could happen. And financially, folks, it's going to happen. It's not a matter of when. It's just, I mean, if it's just when it's going to happen. I can't tell you that, but it's going to happen.
Well, you know, we only have about a minute left, Butch. You know, Merrick Garland, he's been nominated by the White House for the Attorney General's position. And, you know, what's interesting in this AP report, it's all about Garland, what he plans to do, blah, 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 blah. But then when they come down to where they begin to talk about Garland and what he's done, and everybody likes him, here comes a sentence. Garland is a white man. What's that got to do with the time of day? Garland
Coca-Cola,
is a white man.
Coca-Cola has asked his employees to act less white.
I mean, really?
How do you do that?
Anyway, he's a white man. It's just,
how,
you know,
dare he? Oh my!
Anyway, that's
so
where
sad.
We're at. I mean, it's just oh my gosh.
Dominion is suing MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell for $1.3 million because he actually showed the proof of what happened during the election. He's being sued for $1.3 million by Dominion.
And he's a fighter. That's one thing about Mike Lindell.
He is a fighter.
And Fonzie said, we're out of time.
We're wearing masks through 2022, so hang in there, folks.
And we're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.